On this episode of the podcast, I've got my dude, Jason Kalipa from NC Fit. But this time we're not talking about his incredible, you know, the chain of gyms he's created out in California. We're not talking about him being a celebrated CrossFit Games athlete. We're not talking about his B2B, you know, digital app, the NC Fit Collective, which provides gym owners and coaches lesson plans and programming. Instead, we're talking more about Train Hard. If you've noticed on Jason's social media content, he's been really pushing this brand, Train Hard, which essentially is a programming fitness solution for people, mainly dads, it seems, and men is kind of really where it's pushed at, who simply maybe have a garage gym and they want to go ahead and they want to get a great workout in so they could show up for their family in different ways. They want to reclaim their athleticism. He's really been pushing this hard, and I saw it from afar and I hit him up. I said, man, let's talk about it. And you can check it out. It's over at th.fit. th.fit. Check out Train Hard, what Jason's up to from this programming perspective. They're launching early in January 2024, but on this episode, we essentially just kind of jam on the business decision and all the ins and outs as to why he decided to launch this. So I'm excited for you guys to hear the conversation. Enjoy.
Here we go.
What is up, guys? It is Stu. It is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. And for a fun Thanksgiving episode, I've got my man Jason Kalip on. Jason carved out some time from his busy holiday week to come on and jam in between 3 hour long. Bro, I haven't listened to a 3 hour long podcast fucking ever. It took me two, maybe three different runs in the morning to complete your Jocko podcast.
Dude, you know what's so funny about that? Like, I've never been on a podcast. So to put in perspective, we go like 2 hours and then the guy's like, hey, anybody need to go to the bathroom? I'm like, sure, I guess. Like, let's go use the restroom real quick. Got back at it. I mean, I have never.
You and me went for 220, I think, when I came to see you, but like, yeah. three.
Well, it was like, and not to mention like the lead up to that. So we're like sitting there just kind of riffing, whatever. So like, we were sitting in that room for like four and a half hours.
Yeah.
And what I liked about Jocko, though, in that particular case is like, I felt like he goes in those conversations, like, which I don't know if he actually thinks it this way, but I felt like, hey, if someone listening to this never heard anything about you again, what would you want how would you want to dive into this? Like,
yeah,
I'm giving you a platform and he's asking the questions like that he wants to know, like, in depth. And then at that point, like, nothing else can really be said.
Yeah. It was also, I really liked that he earmarked certain parts of your book. Was it weird having him read you the book?
Like, it was a little bit weird. Yeah, I mean, obviously I've listened to his podcast before and I know that he does that at times. Like, he's a, you know, and obviously he's an author and whatnot himself. Yeah. It was a little weird in the sense that, like, I haven't had anybody do that to me before, but it was cool because as he's talking, it brings back memories and then I can kind of talk through it, like give a different perspective, almost like an audiobook type thing.
Yeah. It was well done. I learned some things about you I didn't know. It was a good combo. But so, all right, buddy. I want to get right. We can get into like the gym business stuff in a minute. But I'm sitting here, I'm watching. I've got on my gym. We want to see what Jason's up to, and I'm seeing the Train Hard thing, and I'm like, well, this is cool. Like, at what point did that make its way on your priority plate? Because I got to imagine that if you're going to take something on, I mean, with the level and the degree in which you're taking this thing on, you kind of think of business, the gyms, you think of your own personal training in life and all that stuff. You think of your family. How did you wrap your head around, like, I can add something else to my plate? Is it because you're less involved somewhere else, or where are you buying the time to get it, to do this?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, our brick and mortar gyms have a phenomenal team running them. The NC Fit Collective has a phenomenal team running that and Coach Like a Pro. I'm still actively engaged. Like, I'm in the gym pretty much every day. So I'll acknowledge that. Like, we have an office at one of our locations that I sit at. But Train Hard is a way for me to reach people that NC Fit can't. So NC Fit is really designed for gym owners, coaches, and brick and mortar, period. Like, it's supporting gym owners and coaches because we're doing it in our gyms. We then share that with other people digitally. And we have brick and mortar locations that I show up at every day. However, if there's someone in the middle of the country that wants to engage with things that I'm doing, that I'm passionate about, I didn't feel like they had that connection to NC Fit because they're not a brick and mortar member. They're not a coach. They're not an owner. They're a dad. And so for me, it's like, how do I speak to this person in an authentic way that is meaningful to me? And like, I've evolved. And so for me, it's like, dude, I train jiu-jitsu regularly. I am going to compete at a tactical games. I regularly try and like stay super fit so I could provide for my family experiences and all other types of things. And like, I wanted to create a platform that allowed me to express that. And it was outside the realm of NC Fit. So because I had this drawing, like even tomorrow morning, dude, tomorrow morning on Thanksgiving at 6:30 in the morning, I'm meeting a bunch of random, you know, I just put it out online. Like anybody show up for this Train Hard Men's Club meetup. I don't know if it's going to be 10. I don't know if it's going to be 50. I don't know if it's going to be 100 dudes. And we're just going to get down. I didn't do that for money. Just like I didn't get into CrossFit Games for money or fame. I'm doing this because I feel like there's a need in our community. I want to allow our local community to become more capable, especially the men. And I want them to connect with like-minded people through shared suffering. What I've grown to learn through these experiences, I've been doing these Train Hard meetups every week for months and months, right? What I've came to the conclusion of is whether it's in my garage, hill sprints, wherever, we take for granted in the CrossFit space just how important that shared suffering and connection is you get with other guys. A lot of people don't get that. So I'm trying to bring that to people. And the brand, I think, speaks to them easier than NC Fit would. Because I don't want NC Fit to be everything to everybody. I want it to be this specific thing.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with someone and someone's like, man, what's Jason? What do you think the angle is there? I'm like, well, I think Jason's platform of Jason and who he is and the audience Jason has, if you look at the numbers, it is way larger than gym owners. Like, there's not that many gym owners out there. So like his audience, when you look at it, I bet you if someone were to actually do a nice little pie chart of it, probably less than 33% of that is gym owners, right? And coaches who are going to need the NC Fit Collective and things like that. So the majority of the platform he's created, he actually doesn't have anything for. And I was like, just from a business perspective, like if Miranda and Julian had owned a gym and kept owning a gym and it was doing well successfully, but then they thought about it, they're like, yeah, but there's a big group of people that we identify with that's actually who we are that we can't help. Moms and dads who are working out in their garage at home, whatever, and look what they're able to. So I always just thought of it as like your ability, your megaphone was way larger than gym owners and operators and coaches. This is more who you are. This is more like a passion project that, you know, and when people talk about doing things for money, it's shut the fuck up. None of us really do any of this for money. There's a lot of things we could do for money. We do this because we want to do it. And when you're good enough at something, money's just a direct consequence. It just happens naturally. It's not something we have to go out and seek to do. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Like, the majority of your megaphone, I believe, and your audience can't leverage or benefit from any of the other products you've created. This, though, I believe they can.
So, I think you're, from a business perspective, the total available market, the TAM, is much larger than gym owners and coaches. But taking the business aside, what I'm trying to get better about, you know, dude, I just turned 38. I started our company at 21, right? I've been in this game a long time. And what I've came to conclusion of is that I want to still support gym owners and coaches. Like I just re-updated. So now I have my CrossFit level 4 again. So for those people, like we just took all of our coaches through a new level 1. We had a 20-person seminar, one of our, it's like to say we're not still engaged there is, and I'm not that you're saying that. It's just like, you could have both things can be true at once. Meaning I could still believe in owning brick and mortar gyms and wanting to support gym owners and coaches. And I could be a dad who wants to train hard to be able to protect and provide my family. Like, and those two things can be true. And so I wanted to create a platform that allowed me to express this opposite side without it impacting NC Fit. And yes, there's going to be some brand confusion and whatnot. We're trying to obviously create this dissension. Like it should be Jason Kalipa is the glue that is at both of them, but NC Fit for gym owners, coaches, and brick and mortar. And Train Hard should be for the guy who wants to get after it in his garage or in the gym, who identifies with what I'm trying to do, which is help guys act the part, look the part, and never allow momentum to get to zero. Like those are things that are important to me. And like, when I think about it, Stu, it's like, as a dad, as a husband, I want to be able to protect myself, and my family, meaning I'm not just talking about like firearms and jiu-jitsu. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about be able to run, jump, climb, sprint, and have the fitness to be able to do those things. A year ago, my son fell in a bonfire, right? And when he fell in, I basically just like jumped in and threw him out. If I didn't have the strength or the speed to be able to do that, that's a fundamental problem for me. I believe every dad should be able to do that, right? in addition, I want to be able to provide. And I think when people think about provide, it's like, oh, you're going to go hunting. It's like, no, dude, I'm not going to go hunting. If you want to go hunting, that's perfectly fine. But when I think about providing, I'm thinking about experiences to never say no, to always be able to say yes, because my fitness doesn't inhibit me, you know, like playing catch with your kid, running routes, going to the ocean, whatever. I want to be able to provide those experiences, and I want to be able to provide financially. And I believe that if I show up in the gym and I train hard, I'm going to become with more confidence. I'm going to look the part. And I think that over time, I'll actually have more earning potential. So that's what I'm about on the train hard side.
It's going to be released. Is it just going to be essentially, are you going to be building this off the back of similar software, like what you have already invested in with NC Fit, with the collective and that app, or is this going to be standalone app? Is it going to be delivery by email? What's the actual, like, how's the model actually work?
Yeah, man. Talk about learning lessons. I mean, dude, we've spent probably close to, I don't even know the exact number, but it's like, it's a lot of money on apps. And we've learned that we're not a software company and that we are a service-based company. Like, we're experts in coaching, not in engineering an app. And we've learned that the hard way. I think when we first started getting the app business, like, it was the right thing to do because there wasn't that many options. Now, here we are all these years later, there's plenty of options that I think are going to be easier and better. And so we're actually white labeling another app, and we're going to be using that for the Train Hard. And so Train Hard will have three programs. One is going to help people act the part, look the part, never zero. So one's like strength conditioning, one's like a more of a functional style bodybuilding, and one is a basically a daily EMOM, and it rolls out in the new year. And nice. That's my way of reaching a larger available market, but most importantly is impacting guys to buy into a version of what I want to strive to get to, like the long-term vision of this. So we have a newsletter. It's called the Never Zero Newsletter. Every week we put out content, and the emails we get back are super impactful. Every week I'm hosting in-person events that are always free. No money's exchanged. When you see the impact that's happening and you disseminate this across the country, I just want to see more capable dads show up. And success for me is a year from now, whether you're using your app or engage on our newsletter or whatever, being able to host an in-person event with hundreds and hundreds of men and women who want to be able to train hard. Like, that is going to be success for me, is being able to grow an audience where they identify with this idea to, like, I need to get after it to show up better for everybody else.
The night when you said to your wife, so I'm going to go on the internet, I'm going to blast it out and invite people to our garage, to our home, complete straight. Walk me through that conversation.
So in regards to right now, the way I'm doing it is I have three different text groups on my phone. This is like no joke. One is called Men's Group Workout 1, Men's Group Workout 2, Men's Group Workout 3. And I'll text, be like, hey, I'm doing this at this time. That's it. Like, and it's not like a back and forth. It's like, look, I'm going to be doing hill sprints at 5 a.m. at this place. If you want to come, rock and roll. If you don't, then don't even, it's no big deal. I also have been putting on social media a little bit, and I'm thinking about creating a broadcast channel for my personal house. I don't invite people I don't already know. So like, yeah. If it's mainly like half of them are police officers and different groups I just know, whatever. And kids from my dad's from my kid's school. But like tomorrow we're doing it at a local park. And so I invited whoever wants to come. Anybody's able sure. to come.
I love it. When you're in California, right? The stereotype of California, you guys don't touch guns. That's not that's my stereotype of like a liberal California. I know you're not crazy one side or the other. When did you first start getting into firearms, and then to the degree that then tactical training and getting coached in a tactical world to then, you know, even go to the tactical games. When did that transition happen? Because I feel like I never saw the lead up on it. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, it's like, there you are. I'm like, shit, he looks like he could be in the next fucking, you know, Tom Clancy Rainbow Six.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. If Gabe was here, what he would say is that the truest expression of what you'll see online now is like who I really am. Like, I've been training firearms with, and my son too, for like a decade. Now my son's 9, so he didn't start 10 years ago,
sure,
right?
Yeah. But you've taken about the, you told me one time you went to Castro's Ranch with him one time, right? And yeah, you guys were shooting, yeah.
I took them to Cashers Ranch. I've taken them to local law enforcement every month for years. So that's an important skill set that I find important. So for me,
real quick, before we get back to the podcast, if you are currently dealing with a problem in your business, instead of you trying to DIY this and go on gym owner Facebook groups and ask a bunch of strangers questions, I would highly recommend you understand how much money and time you're wasting when you could have just shot me a DM on Instagram at WTF Gym Talk, explain to me the problem you've got. And if I'm the right person, I'll solve it for you. I will engineer the solution and I will help you and empower you to execute it on your own. And then once the problem's solved, fire me and get back on with kicking ass with your gym. But I'm here to solve your problems quickly and efficiently. If you've got one, shoot me a DM on Instagram at WTF Gym Talk.
What I find really interesting with the tactical games is like I spent all this time getting super fit, but then how well can I now control my heart rate and put rounds on a target? That to me is super intriguing. It's not so much like, yes, do I think it's a skill set that if I want to, you know, carry or whatever, I should be able to do that? Of course, 100%. But I want to train to be able to see how well can I do in this new domain. It's taking something I'm an expert at, which is CrossFit, and just throwing a little bit of a change in it. And so for the last like 10 years, I would say, you know, so next week, actually, I'm getting my brown belt in jiu-jitsu, which took me 7 years to get. Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not, although CrossFit is a huge part of my life, like I've been training jiu-jitsu now for 7 years. I'm getting my brown belt. And I've been training firearms for a long time and I want to expose myself to new challenges. And I feel like anybody listening, the best thing that I could do for myself is keep me fired up to be in the gym. And for me, the way I get fired up to stay in the gym is doing stuff outside the gym that shows me just how important the in gym is. Tactical games, jiu-jitsu, playing with my kids, et cetera.
And so do you carry, do you conceal carry? How does that work in California? Do you guys have to get a permit for conceal carry?
The answer is yes. You have to get a permit. There's some recent laws that just got changed because in New York, essentially it went to the Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken, or the High Court. And a ruling came down that instead of you having to prove why you deserve one, now they need to prove to you why you shouldn't have one. Right. So in California, it's opening up for a lot of CCWs and yes, I am pursuing mine. I'll tell you why I am. I met with the chief of police here locally and I shook her hand the other day and I was like, look, I'm just letting you know at this point in time, I am an asset to this community and not a liability because of how much I've trained. I believe that firearms are a tool and they need to be treated with a lot of respect and need to have more training than you possibly think of. And I've put in many, many hours to try and get to the point where I could be an asset for my community. And that makes me feel good.
When I built this townhouse and I moved here in 21, and then I went and got my CCW, brand new, really nice range just opened up by my house. And I have zero intention of actually carrying. I tell everybody, and it was actually my girlfriend at the time, so my fiance now, but my girlfriend at the time's dad says, take the CCW class, get your concealed carry card, even if you don't actually carry. Just the amount of information you learn on the laws in your state about if someone were to enter your home, what are you and are you not allowed to do, right? Castle laws and things like that. That alone for me on if I ever was in a scenario in which I had to use a deadly force against someone who was going to hurt me or someone else, that was worth the 7-8 hour class price of admission in and of itself. And I tell everybody, I highly recommend it. Recommend it.
I mean, my thing is like, if you're listening to this, you're like, oh, I didn't know Jason likes guns. Like, well, let's take a step back for a second. I'm not like encouraging people to go buy a bunch of guns. What I am encouraging people to do is that if they have a desire to carry or if they have an interest in guns, they need to go explore that in the appropriate fashion. Get a shit ton of education and training. You do not want to be a liability to yourself, your family, or your community. And I think that's extremely important, which is one of the reasons why I saw at an early age, my son had a big interest in it. And I wanted to expose him to it from professionals. Say, if I already knew he had an interest, I don't want him to be curious about those things. I want to expose it to him in a professional manner. So he's not just randomly somewhere and gets exposed to it. And then all of a sudden that could lead to some issues. So that's my take on it is there should be, obviously you should go through background checks and all that kind of stuff, right? But it's a skill set, just like anything else. And I think you should learn new things.
But answer me this. How many cool guns do you have?
dude, I'm hopefully going to be getting some more cool guns with partnerships for tactical games. I mean, right now I don't have that many cool guns because I'm in California. You have to be really careful with the laws here. But yeah, I mean, look, Castro's Ranch is 45 minutes from me. I can go there. I can go shoot. Yep. There's a lot of opportunities to shoot, but the thing about the tactical games that draws me is like, can I lift heavy things and focus and still shoot? It tests as one of the 10 general physical skills in a way that you don't really get tested in CrossFit, which is accuracy. And I think that's super cool. My first exposure to that was at the 2019 Rogue Invitational, where we did a biathlon, ski erg, and shooting an airsoft gunner. It was something along those lines. That was super cool, and it was very difficult.
Yeah. Accuracy sports, I don't care. If I'm at a bar with darts, I want to play it. If it's cornhole, I want to play it. I those axe throwing places, I love that. Like anything that's accuracy based, I mean, I think that's probably why I fell in love with lacrosse in high school. Is I think it's super insane. Same thing with shooting. Like I'm not a gun guy. I don't even know the lingo at the level that my other college buddies do that I go shooting with. I like making bets and be like, okay, I'm going to put one right on the shoulder. And just, I like the gaming of the accuracy of it and just going to a range with a buddy for 60 to 90 minutes and just talking shop and just practicing accuracy. There's just something so fun about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit. We were talking some business stuff prior. You know, I've had some conversations over the past couple weeks. And you announced this on Jocko's podcast that you're going to be sunning down the NC Fit partnership program. And that was something when during COVID, we got on a podcast together. Obviously, you know, the Glassman thing had occurred. You guys had the initial deaffiliation, the rise of the partnership, and that got up. You guys were up to like 80 some at that point. At some point early on, you had a bunch of partners, correct?
Yeah, we had. So this is. Yes, I'll let you keep going. Then I'll explain.
So again, there was a lot of them, you know, and then I think we had another podcast. We had another discussion offline where it's just like, maybe should have curbed that a little or increased the price or whatever. Like, you know, to do what I want to do from a business support standpoint on 80 of these guys, it's a lot to do with this current price point. And I know there was some reworking of that program over time. I've had the privilege to work with some of your licensees and things of that nature. And then I heard on Jocko's podcast and through others that you're going to be sunning it down. So walk me through kind of the evolution of this play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what's important to note is that if we had known that the program would eventually be sunsetting, let's just say in 3 to 5 years, I don't know if we would have done it at all, right? But at the time, it felt like the right thing to do. And I think that's really important to note as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, like, you're going to look back on certain situations and you made the best decision you could at the time. At the time, you know, we have all these collective gyms. They needed guidance and direction and support, and CrossFit was just really going through a tough time. So we said, hey, let's roll out a license program. And I thought at the time we were doing the right thing. I did. I thought we were trying to provide some well-needed stability in a really tumultuous time. And for the 100 people that we brought on as partners, I think we did the best we could for the next year with them. I do. But what we learned over the next year is that our brand was at stake. And there was a lot of people that we just couldn't have quality control on them. And we weren't delivering the type of product that I really wanted to deliver. And we weren't receiving back the type of quality control that we were looking for. And it ended up being
deeper into that. Like how, because I think a lot of people look at CrossFit as like, why don't you do more quality control? And I think one of the things I've heard previously is like, fuck, it's hard to do remote quality control. It's not like you guys were sending Gabe as a secret shopper to, you know, Georgia to go spy on an NC Fit partner. How did it get back to you through the feedback, the feedback mechanism and loop of there being a lack of quality control?
Yeah. So in the beginning, we had two different types of partners. And I think that, again, looking back on it, we would have always regretted saying, hey, what if we did it? We learned a lot. And I'll continue to talk about this. So there's two types of partners when we first rolled out. It was like partner A, partner B. One would like kind of almost rebrand the whole gym and become like NC Fit XYZ. The other was just an NC Fit partner. So you'd be like CrossFit, whatever, an NC Fit partner type of thing. And that was just our way of like, they paid a nominal amount to basically join monthly calls. We had a full-time person. JP was running that at the time, doing a great job, really trying to over-service. Like I really... If anybody listening was part of that program, I think if they had given a legitimate shot, like we, I think tried to over deliver with docs, with support, with plans, with everything. But we realized by looking at online and other stuff, we're like, wow, our brand is showing up in so many various ways, and it's not the original vision that we had. We need to get closer to more narrowing down in terms of the way the brand shows up with branding guidelines. That was the thought. So we say, okay, it's been a year. We learned a lot. We have two options. Most people just want all the resources and tools. So we said, hey, just continue with all the resources and tools, but you can't use the brand because you're not using it in the right way. Or dive in a little bit more, brand out your gym, and then we'll go from there. So 9 partners decided to like really brand out the gym, NC Fit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And not just kind of like use the tools. Cause that was all a part of the NC Fit collective anyways, right? Like, so when I got on the phone with them, I was like, look, you're doing XYZ NC Fit partner. You're not even using the brand much. Just continue what you're doing. You don't need to pay us any license fee or anything. Just stick with the NC Fit collective. Others want to dive deeper. And that was where I think at the time we really tried to overservice with these partners. They came out to California. We do a lot of stuff with them. We're trying to add a ton of value. And over the next year or two, we learn a lot. Most importantly, it was about a year ago, maybe 6 months. It was around a year ago. We sat down a leadership team and we said, hey, look, where are we going as a business? As NC Fit, where are we going? What is our vision? Jason, what are you passionate about? Where do you want to go? And when we looked at all the different things we have going on as a business, the partner program was not front and center. And what we said is, we're doing them a disservice by no longer investing into that program. Like, that is not cool. If we're not focused on it, we just shouldn't even be doing it. It should either be a, you know, all in or just we need to communicate.
It's not a focus. It becomes a distraction to the business and then they suffer.
Exactly. Now, with that being said, easier said than done. But in a nutshell, once that decision was made that the partner program is not a long-term focus for NC Fit, we are not going to be investing into staff to support it or resources and tools like we had in the past. And I think if you ask the partners who really were open-minded, we did a lot. But that being said, once we decided that, we thought the fair thing to do is sit on it, right? So we sat on it. We really thought about it. We really, you know, really kind of deeply thought about it because some of these partners had gone through a lot of branding and that was tough for me to obviously some of them, not all of them, but had invested heavily into branding. So what we thought was the best thing to do is once we made this decision was to communicate that effectively. I thought that was the best thing to do. There's always better ways we could have done this, but we got on the phone with each one and just said, hey, look, our vision for the future is not to invest in the partner program. You know, don't pay any license fee or anything like that. Spend the next year, right? Take your time. But we're going to go through a roll off. And in some cases, if people needed more time, we just had a conversation. We're going to do that, right? So at the end of the day, if someone had signed up with our partner program, it would be 5 years by the time that things would roll off. And part of me asked the question, like, did we do the partners a disservice? And part of me says, yeah, it's a tough situation because these people had bought into where we wanted to go, but businesses evolve and change and we evolve and change. And I feel like the best thing we could have done is communicate that. And nothing I've learned, these are 1-year license agreements. Nothing had ever been said, we're going to be doing this for the next decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, right? Like there was nothing that, but it was implied just through our conversations that we wanted this to be a long-term thing. And to be fair, that's what I wanted. Otherwise we wouldn't even have started it. Right. So anyways, that's a long-winded way of saying kind of where we're at today and lessons learned along that journey. And I think we did some things really well. I think we could have learned some lessons in others.
And when you were referring to branding, you're talking about if they invested in signage and, you know, murals for sure. And shirts and, you know, the assets that you originally paid for and then allowed them through the licensing fee, which was very inexpensive when you first rolled it out. It was like $1,000?
Like 2000, I think.
2000. So yeah, very inexpensive, whatever it was. And then they had the right to use that. And it was on a 1-year contract. And this is, you know, I'll have gyms come and they, you know, it's a, for a concept validation. Here's my thing. Can I replicate it? And then if it's yes, if I think so, are you licensing it or is this franchise has franchise potential? And you got to run those pros and cons. And this is a great one of the pros and cons of the license. For the licensor, it allows you to mic drop it. And I'm not saying that's what you did, but I mean, like essentially if you needed to sun it down for whatever reason, but it also allows the licensee to walk away at any moment. That's as well. Right. I mean, it's both ways. Like you could be sitting on this podcast today saying, no, we're going 100% full forward with the license model. And guess what? What likely would have happened if you would have continued down there? Some people would have used the tools, the brand name, got what they needed from it, and then eventually it's like, I don't need this anymore, right? And they could have instantly just walked away from you. And now you're like, oh shit, we invested, we allowed you to use these resources, whatever, and left you kind of holding the bag at this point, this hypothetical bag of like, oh fuck, they're not here anymore. That, I mean, again, it goes both ways. Either it could have happened to either side of you.
Yeah. And it's not easy. And I want to make sure that I acknowledge that. Like, there are partners who made investments into branding and signage. And at the end of the day, yes. Was it 1-year agreements? Yes. But that wasn't our intent. Like, and I hope the partners realize too, like, that, like thinking from our, we had full-time staff on this. Like, it's not like we had full attention, focus, and full-time staff. So would we have done that and made those investments in our people and in the resources if we had seen it sunsetting in 3 to 5 years? No. However, we need to be true. And this is a business lesson for myself and others, is like, dude, businesses evolve and change and grow. And if you don't, you're going to perish and you're going to go away. And for us, we had to ask ourselves, like, where do we see ourselves in 5 years? Is it more brick and mortar? Is it more license? Is it digital? And train hard. And what we're doing on the digital side was really calling me, as well as all the different things we're doing for gym owners and coaches on the digital side. The scale provides for our team, and our consistency can still be maintained.
How do you and I ask you this, I think every time we talk, what is corporately owned growth in the Bay Area in California look like going forward? What do you think of like over the next 5 years?
I think right now, like today, our current focus is making sure that our brick and mortar gyms in the Bay Area are optimized. That's our goal, like, period. And we're getting close in some areas and not close in other areas. When we feel like the financials are drawing close to getting to where we think like classes are getting too impacted, et cetera, we can then start having a good conversation about what staff needs opportunities in the Bay Area and what our expansion plan looks like. But as of right now, we have not had those conversations. We're very much focused on utilizing our brick and mortar to really learn a lot, to and then grow that digitally to gym owners and coaches. Meanwhile, express it through the Train Hard brand. That's what our focus is today. And, you know, and part of it too, Stu, is like, maybe I am a little bit jaded on brick and mortar going through COVID. Maybe I need just a little bit of time to kind of like refocus on these, really make them just like tip of the spear. I think they're getting close, but they're not quite there, right? Really hone in and then grow back, right?
It's also, I mean, to go massive corporately owned growth, like where the entity of NC Fit has to fund everything, right? You're constantly going to be robbing Peter, the successful profit of the existing businesses, to fund Paul, the next location, if you decided to grow to multiple locations.
Right.
It's a young man's fucking game. It really, like, I feel like at a certain point, and I admit this 100%, with me leasing out that gym, as much as I miss owning, like, I can't walk into a gym without just feeling a little of like, God damn, I wish I still had mine. My lifestyle and what I do and my time with my family and stuff like that, it requires a more passive income operation. I mean, I'm still busy 60 hours a week. I'm still doing something, but it's a much more passive base. It's not as, I mean, if you want to start opening corporately owned locations, I work with brands that are doing that all. They're not franchising. Franchising is the fastest, easiest way to do it with other people's money. But on your own money, on your own dime, my God, that's a young man's game. Or it's an old man who's wise, like you and me have been doing that. Like, I turned 38 in December, and we've got a young man who's ready to just fucking eat it alive and go after it. It's hard to find that.
Well, and let's ask ourselves some other questions too, right? Like, if you were me, right? And anybody listening to this, I think you need to identify what are you uniquely talented at? What's your unique like thing? Like, what is going to help you be successful? So if you are an owner operator of a brick and mortar and that is your skill set, dude, you're great with people. You're a great coach. You know how to lead from the front within a small brick and mortar, and you're able to take home, you know, 100 grand a year, 200 grand, whatever it is. Like, that's awesome. If in my particular case, because of my background competing professionally, because of the other things I've done to build an online brand, whether it be through podcasts, social, et cetera, I also need to reflect on, how do I make the largest impact possible? So like my original goal when I was 15 and started at a health club was I want to impact as many people as possible, do what I love for a living and provide that to other coaches. That's what I want to do. So I have to reflect on that original vision when I was, you know, 21 starting the gym and say, hey, am I better off owning and operating brick and mortar and spending more time servicing 500 to 700 members per location? Or let's just say it's 400 to 700, right? And really impacting them, because you can get pretty deep and granular, right? Or am I better off spending time and attention through this digital model where we could impact gym owners and coaches to help them then disseminate it and create an online model where we could help more people through digital? Those are questions I'm asking myself based on my background. Like, because both can solve problems, but where do you want to go?
Yeah. With Train Hard, does that have its own corporate structure, or is that essentially under the NC Fit umbrella and you have NC Fit staff or whatever assisting you with this? Because this is going to start creating some level of operational drag as you release the app and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. So right now, you know, there is a team that's working on both. The goal over time is to create teams on both sides, right? The goal over time is that, this is long over time, is that me and maybe a few others are the only people that are working on both projects and that both companies, and that you have qualified, focused individuals who could really optimize those areas. Like, I want NC Fit to thrive and dominate, and I want Train Hard to do the same. I understand that by taking a team and dispersing them between the two, you're going to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out on both. I get that. And we might need to be there for at least a little bit. But then the goal is to separate that out so we could really allow each one to reach their potential.
And then to go back to my previous, because I didn't follow up with my own question well. So we're not thinking any more additional locations in the Bay Area in the immediate future, or is it if a great opportunity came?
I think if an opportunity came to take one of our current brick and mortars and buy a building or move it, yeah. But a new, probably not at this time. Yeah. We just want to take what we're currently doing and do it better. And we have room to grow there. And I think for a while, you know, when we expanded through corporate wellness with Western Digital, and we've done a lot of different things and we've learned each time around. And I think right now the goal is hone in, focus, over service, over deliver, build. But we have to take a step back and focus on what we have today to get it to a certain point, and then we can go from there.
I need to find you a CVS or a Rite Aid. I've got out in the West Coast, out in the Bay Area. CVS and Rite Aid just officially filed their chapter 11, oh, right? They've been going on bankrupt for the past 10 years.
But we're in a CVS right now, right? Yeah. That one in Mountain View is in a CVS, yeah.
I mean, that's the one that's still in the Strip, right? Is that a Strip or standalone?
That's Strip.
So we need to get you a standalone, because the standalones are going to come with 50 to 65 or more parking spaces. You have your own dedicated footprint. It's a standalone building, no neighbors, no nothing. And the best thing is the redevelopment opportunities of these. Because think of where you see like a CVS and a Walgreens. They're generally on prominent corner locations. The redev on those opportunities are absolutely incredible for however long down the road you want to hand it off to your kids and they redevelop into the townhomes or whatever, you know, whatever that may be. That's what we need to find. That's what we got to find for you. We'll talk about that off air. But
All right. Yeah.
So I want to
just close the loop on the partner program. Like,
sure. Yeah.
I feel like for anyone who is a part of the program, I feel like we did the best we could to service them the best we could. I do. I believe we did everything in our power to service as best as possible. We tried to lead with integrity and doing the right thing. And at the end of the day, there will be some partners who maybe don't see that same thing eye to eye in terms of like they were invested, they thought for the next decade, two decades. And for that, right, it is unfortunate, and it is a learning lesson for me, the way we had set it up. And maybe the way I could have communicated it better, but I still believe we did everything in our power to do the right thing once that decision was made, that we're no longer going to invest in this. And that's not part of the vision of the brand for the future. So, you know, I think for anybody out there listening, like when you make business decisions, when you make a business decision, you do the best you can with the information you have at that time. And it's easy to look back on certain decisions and regret them. And I think you need to learn from them. But if you were back in those same situations, would you still be making the same one? If the answer is yes, it's hard to not be like, it's hard to beat yourself up if you still would have done the same thing.
I can speak only on the handful of people I've worked with that are NC Fit partners. I've never heard anything negative. I've only heard positive good things about the support you guys provided. And I provided this example to someone, and hopefully maybe this gives relief to anyone listening to this that's in the partnership program currently. I did not have a lot of money in college, and I spent a lot of money on a LeBron James jersey. I lived in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, LeBron James, everyone knows, in the decision, goes ahead and moves and goes down to Miami, right? Yeah. Here's the deal is when I bought that jersey with money I didn't have, right? I could barely, but I wanted that official jersey. I did so knowing he probably won't be in Cleveland forever. Just like anyone who signs a license. Again, this is different in franchise world, but in licenses, I tell people, look at the contract. Is it 5 years, 1 year, 1 month, 10 years, 10 months, whatever it is? That is the limit to which the company has guaranteed you they will do their thing with you. Now, you have to accept you're a big boy and girl. You make your own decisions as a business owner. Is it worth getting into bed knowing that you're hopeful this thing could go forever? But the only thing that's consistent in business is that everything changes. Nothing stays the same. And especially in the hyper-volatile nature of the industry that we're in, where things are changing left and right, I hope everyone puts that into perspective and this doesn't become, you know, like I got screwed over by. No, you had a great relationship with someone for a period of time and it came to an end, like most relationships will. And again, I hate saying it's just business because I don't like saying that there's not an empathetic element to this whole thing. But at the end of the day, this is what being in business successfully means. Accepting responsibility for your decisions, whether that's entering into a license model or starting one, right?
Well, and I think the way this can relate to many people who listen to this podcast is what changes, if any, are coming down the pipeline with CrossFit. I do not know what changes will come, but I do know that changes will be inevitable because that's just what happens. And so if or when there comes a time where the license agreement shifts, each owner will have to decide, is that the right decision for me given the current agreement? Not like what might happen in the future. It's whatever that agreement says is what it says. Like you might think that, so for example, just because CrossFit's had 1 year annual license agreements, but they've never revoked them, right? I mean, maybe they have for like certain circumstances, but like they've never canceled their license program ever. Doesn't mean that they can't, right? Because they're 1 year license agreements. So if you go out there and you brand up CrossFit all over the place, hypothetically, a year later, they could say you're not a license anymore. Now they haven't, and they set that expectation, but they could.
It's 100%. It's kind of where I want to go. So that's my belief, you know, based on everything that, you know, did you guys get like the affiliate survey that went out that was asking a bunch of questions about, you know, I think it would be great for CrossFit. They'd have to identify a model. They'd have to have one in operation, a gym that they would model this thing after. And they'd say, this is exactly how we believe it should be ran. And they either run a franchise thing with it, which I think is the least likely, much harder. And for everyone listening, the thing I keep hearing, I don't know if you're hearing this, people are afraid like, oh, I'm not going to, they can't make me become a, no, of course they can't make you. They will cancel the license thing. And then if you so choose, you would opt into the franchise thing. They cannot do that to you. I think stick with the license and I would, from 3,000, I would 7X the price at a minimum and make it less CrossFits who are financially doing well because they can afford a certain number. And because they're so bought in, they are going to follow the recommendations of the business operations, knowing they don't have to because it's a license. But do you have any, you mentioned earlier, you're having a conversation with what's his name? Coming up, who's your Jay. Next call?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I do have some additional meetings that maybe other people don't have. But I haven't had those as of yet. So whatever I share is basically
speculation
yes. And public knowledge.
Yes.
A week from now, I think we might be having a different conversation. I probably wouldn't be able to share.
Yeah.
But you know, here's my take on it. And, I am not basing this on any factual data. is that if the current license agreement on average is like, let's just say for the sake of argument, I would venture to say the average license agreement is probably $1,500. So, and here's the reason why I say that. The original license agreement was 500. Yep. It then went to 1,000. It went to 2,000. It's now currently 3,000. But if you look at the affiliate growth map, I want to say it was between that 1,000 and 2,000. You saw a big spike. Now, obviously, some attrition occurs and yeah, you have 3,000. So like I'm guesstimating the average annual fee is somewhere around 1,500 bucks. So when you talk about 13,000 affiliates, that's not at 3,000. That's at a fraction of that, right? Half of that. My perspective on it would be, if you charge the 7X like you're sharing, CrossFit will have to restructure the way affiliates look at them. Right now, they look at them as a arm's length deal where they get to use the mark and CrossFit provides them nothing. Now, although CrossFit in the last year or two has been providing all kinds of stuff, affiliate owners just aren't using it, whether that be CAP or the playbook or whatever. It's because the relationship has already been set that it's a hands, like it's a distance, you know, relationship. And so I think if they are going to go down that path and charge more, they're going to need to require them to step up their game with more procedures and systems and communicate it super effectively, the value proposition. Because like, I don't know, man, do you think they're providing enough value to charge $23,000 a month or 20,000, excuse me?
No, not at all currently. And the problem with CrossFit is because it was, there wasn't CrossFit One. I mean, Greg had a spot, but it's like there hasn't been a flagship location in which they have tested and seen. They've just had to travel around the country and get to know gym owners and take it at face value as to what works and what doesn't, right? Like that's honestly, you maybe talk to you and Chris Cooper or whatever, like, and you're just taking a ton of anecdotal evidence, which becomes data on a big scale. But I believe that they would have to identify to go franchise. They would have to identify a specific model, a location, a footprint, of all the things you do. But on the licensing to go 7X, yeah, there would have to be – I think that the reason I'm saying 7X is I believe that's the dollar amount per year someone would have to pay to have consistent business support, right? Like clients that pay me on a – that I work on a retainer on a six-month project, that level of business support – on a monthly basis, right? Have a dedicated
who provides
person to get
it
on
though,
calls
Stu?
With. Oh, what was that?
Who provides it from CrossFit?
Well, so at 13,000, if one third, let's say one third of that opt in to $21,000 a year, right? So a little less than $2,000 a month or whatever that is. I think you can payroll the business support for those 400, 300, whatever that number comes down to. You know, like, I mean, how many people are going to actually, I mean, how many gyms are financially capable of dedicating $21,000 a year recurringly? And
so, yeah, man, I think it's a bigger, so like, let's just say you're right. And you see major attrition because the people who are hobbyist gym owners are not going to buy into that. Right. First, there's going to be this huge resentment against the brand, right? Because you have these guys who just like, they lost 100 pounds, got in the best shape of their life. They met their wife. And they want to start a CrossFit gym, but they're really a full-time XYZ name the career, right? You see this all over the place. Is it a good thing if there's attrition that happens in the CrossFit space? I think yes. I think that if you see some attrition, what'll happen is those members will then disperse to gyms that are really doing it more like a business and less like a hobby. I think long-term, it'll be good for everybody. That being said, if you go too high, man, you're not going to get the guys that are doing it well. You could just shoot yourself in the foot if you go too high.
Yeah.
Right?
When I think of that 13,000, I'd say 1,000 gyms do it at $21,000 per year. Right. So 21,000 times 1,000, that gets us 21 mil.
And what is, what's the revenue on 1500 at, let's just call it, the 13,000. What's that revenue?
19,500. So not that far off, but again, you know this, I'd rather make 22 off 1,000 gym, like with only having to help 1,000 be fucking awesome than 19,500, I'm making 13,000 awesome.
Yeah. But is that reaching the goal of getting to, you know, 30 million people doing CrossFit in
the
next
30 million people
years?
Doing CrossFit is a job for the methodology,
right?
Like Miranda, train hard. I mean, like if the methodology can be out there without the brick and mortar small business owner doing its thing. And that's, I mean, that's the thing is, CrossFit for years has provided a business owner who had no idea what they were doing. They didn't come up with a brand. They didn't even come up with the style of workout. They just were a customer of it and found that for $3,000 a year. Right. And I can be a purveyor of this. That is insane. Like it's the greatest opportunity that created the worst AAA baseball team ever, essentially, is what we ultimately ended up coming up with. And I believe that if you jack up the price, it reserves it for those that are profitable, succeeding, and they want to reinvest in. And for those that want to get to that point, I know people who are saving up to open a metabolic or an F40, or not an F45, but like an orange, like that's their goals. They want to franchise these things.
Yeah.
And they're working towards that.
So then what do they model off of?
Methodology is free, kids. Any of you guys can go and coach CrossFit. You just won't be able to say that you can't use the mark.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really interesting though, because then what happens to the open? Do the games even matter? Like there's so many factors, but to your point, I think something that you'll have to consider is that if you're going to charge 21,000, right? And you want to attain new affiliates, right? What are the branding guidelines associated with that? How close do you get to a franchise that of being a franchise and you still are a license? And then even with that, if I'm going in, and so when you ask someone to pay $3,000 for an affiliation fee, they're just like, all right, I love CrossFit. I'm paying it. Like ask me, why do I pay an affiliation fee now? It's because CrossFit's done a lot for me in my life and I pay for it because I feel like I need to pay homage. Does it add value to our business? I don't know. Do we get new leads? Maybe. But like I'm doing it because I feel connected to it. I'm not going to spend.
It's a small enough percentage of your revenue that it doesn't
exactly
matter.
Right. But now take, for example, if I'm a new affiliate, like not like current one, and you say to me, hey, if you want to open up a Orange Theory, it's going to cost you $1 million. This, but these are the financials. This is what it looks like. This is your hypothetical build out. But now if you want to open up a CrossFit affiliate, what are they going to bank it on? What model are they going to show you how you're going to get an ROI on your $21,000 a year? Because if they can't do that, they're not going to be able to attain new gym owners, right?
Yeah. I think what they would probably, I would have to get the numbers and find my top 1,000 gyms. I would have to have some kind of NDA. I would have some beta group. I wouldn't discuss the total number, but I'd say what it is. But I mean, it's not, and this isn't just me. There's other people that do what I do. I'll be put on a $36,000 a year, $3,000 a month retainer to solve a problem inside one location. So that's me, one man to one business. Do I think CrossFit can do a lot more than one man can? I sure as fuck can. And at $21,000 a year, that's $1,750 a month. There are gyms where $1,750 a month is a line item that they can afford because they want to be a part of this global, arguably the largest global fitness brand. And I think it should cost, there should be a higher price to entry to be a part of the largest global fitness brand ever.
So I think you and I were saying the same thing. I have two problems with the whole thing is that can CrossFit actually deliver on that is my biggest problem, right? Is that if you're going to say, hey, it's going to be 21,000, it's a giant jump from going from whatever. And when you do that, it comes with different expectations. Like if you go out to a meal and you go out to a meal and you get a, you know, $12 burger at some place, you're like, that's okay.
Yeah.
If you go out and you're having a $30 burger, that better be the best damn burger of your life. Better come with some truffle fries on the side or something. And The thing about it is like the expectation is going to go through the roof and they're going to need to deliver on it. The idea I had, which I mean, I don't necessarily hate your idea, but the idea that I had was that you more or less like double the affiliation fee. And with that, you earmark a certain percentage of that towards education. So the idea I had was, let's just say you go from 3,000 to 10,000 as an example. But you earmark 5,000 of that as guaranteed revenue towards your coaches that could go spend on level one, level two, and level three certifications. So what that does, it creates this snowball effect where it takes the people that are hobbyists, they're not going to want to invest 10 G's as an example, but it also then takes the people who are doing well. And they're like, 10,000, that's a lot, but you know what? I can now invest into my team. And guess what that does for the overall ecosystem is it starts leveling up the coaches because this money has already been earmarked. So now the coaches, the owners are probably gonna be more likely to actually spend that on the coaches.
I also think just basic economics, if we take the volume of CrossFit gyms from 13,000 down to 1,000 paid license, you know, this premium license, the rates go up, and what you can professionalize and pay a coach also instantly go up just due to a pure supply and demand. And the one thing I would say, and I would do like what Planet Fitness does. So on that, you know, 21,000, you know, times 1,000 to 21 mil, I'd take 3% of that. That $630,000 a year gets funneled back into local advertising, national.
Has to.
3%, 3% is funneled back in, maybe even higher than that. Maybe you can take it up to 5%, depending on what their bandwidth is. And it goes right into the marketing and advertising, because that's ultimately where the gym owner is looking for the ROI. Like, they
show me the leads.
Yeah. It's, yep. It's what business does the brand name bring me? And so, yeah, I agree. I like your model. I think regardless, we're talking about the price going up, the number of affiliates going down, and yeah, we're somewhere there.
No, I think you're right. So, yeah, I mean, I'll keep these conversations going. I think that obviously I have a conversation today with Jay. I'm really curious what he says, but you and I were both in agreement. The price needs to go up. The barrier to entry needs to increase. And the amount of affiliates as a byproduct will decrease. But I think for the longevity of the overall brand, it's probably what they're going to need to do. But I'm telling you, man, I think it would be really enlightening. And I know that there's, you know, they're not gonna be able to show this to everybody. I think it'd be really enlightening is to see the financials. Like, I mean, a deep dive into financials of CrossFit. I think it would change the way some people talk about things because they're so connected to it, right? Because it changed their life, et cetera. But if I told you that the games were losing $30 million a year, and that $30 million a year could have been used to help support the affiliate or whatever, whatever, or this many staff are doing this on the affiliate side, might change your vantage point.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, brother. Well, listen, Jay, I appreciate you taking the time, buddy. It's always good catching up. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. And yeah, buddy, we'll stay in touch. Thank you for coming on. Where can, for any, when does Train Hard drop?
So th.fit is like, if you're a dad out there, man, if you're someone out there that wants to act the part and look the part, check out th.fit. We got merch up there that just is dropping, and the app releases in the beginning of the year. However, if you're a gym owner, if you're a coach, make sure to go to nc.fit. So th.fit is, you know, I don't even want to call it a passion project. It's something I'm pursuing for me personally, along with our team. And NC Fit has been part of what I've been doing for almost 20 years. I think we're servicing gym owners better than anybody else in terms of session plans and programming, because we actually use them in our gym. Every workout's been reviewed, tested, et cetera. So make sure to check out nc.fit if you're a gym owner or coach, and th.fit if you're just trying to get after it.
Did you try to buy trainhard.fit and some fucker wanted an obscene amount of money for it?
They wouldn't get back to me.
Dude, those guys, they just domain squat. They just grabbed up all the good domains. They're just squatting on them.
Hey, th.fit isn't bad, right?
No, it's concise. It works. You know, the 4-letter or 5-letter, like Uber and like Airbnb, that's like the gold standard. And like, you know, startups, like, come up with something for th works great, buddy. Th works great.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. We'll stay in touch. And yeah, if there's ever anything I could do, just let me know. And oh, by the way, if you're a gym owner, coach, if you're anybody out there, you got to get on our newsletter, the Never Zero newsletter. I can send you a link after.
Yeah, I'll put the show notes.
But dude, every Wednesday, we're just dropping really cool stuff that I think would really help people out.
Awesome. I will get that on there. All right, brother. Thank you.
Later.